Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, chapter 6 of Vayikra. Okay, so first of all, where the mitzvah we're going to look at today is mitzvah number 30. We were up through mitzvah number 29 right before Rosh Hashanah. And last week when we went back to mitzvah number 26, which was Birchas Kohanim, that's because I'm getting old. Okay, in other words, I actually thought I gave that shiur in another I did give the shiur in another context, and I didn't realize that I gave it here also. But I was definitely aware of Mechadish things that last week. We said new things. But the reason we went out of order, so to speak, is because I didn't realize we had already covered that here. But we're up to mitzvah number 30. We just finished the Ketores, you might recall. And so here we are. This is the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. So we're going to look at the Parsha first, as we always like to see the Psukim. And here also we'll take a note of Rashi's comments. So just to put it in context, this mitzvah appears in the context of more than just a paragraph that refers to many things besides it. Also, the mitzvah of the Eish Tamid, that's what we looked at, the Eish Tamid al Mizbeach, we looked at before Rosh Hashanah. So, by the Baruch Hashem HaMashalimor, Sabbath Zaharam Es Banav Limor, Zos Taras HaOla. This is the din of the Ola Karban, what we call in English a burnt offering, which means it's totally consumed on the Mizbeach. Hi Ha'ola Al Makdo Al Mizbeach Kol HaLayla Ad HaBoker. So this is the olah which is put on the mizbeach and consumed all night long, and you kindle a fire on it. Now here, this pasuk is relevant to what we're talking about tonight. The kohen shall dress in the ketones of linen, and pants of linen shall he wear on his flesh. Which just saw, by the way, Yaakov Kamenetsky points out that al basaro almost always means on his nakedness, and sometimes actually refers to the genitals. But the point is that he's supposed to be wearing this mechzayim specifically to cover basar erva. That's what the pasuk says and indicates in the back in Yisro.
Very good.
And no, it's a pant. It's pants that would that, and they are directly. There's nothing under the pants.
Is there an implication that normally they would wear underwear?
They might not, because they would have like a long thing. What are you asking? Isn't
the thing is they're hot meat as they would be. Like, I didn't think it was common.
I don't know, but we know that you can't be chotzeit, so they couldn't have to be on you.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know what they normally did, but I guess it could be they did. I don't know. So Mitzvah Sevad Yubashav Asar, so he wears these pants of linen. The Heirim is Hadeshen, and he shall lift, pick up the Deshen, the ashes. Asher tochal ha'eshes ha'olal ha'mizbeach, which the fire will have consumed the olah on the mizbeach, v'samo, and place that deshen, eitzel ha'mizbeach, right? So let's look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi on Gemot Midovad. His clothing, his measure, clothing. I don't know. There's a word. The reason it's called Mido is because it's the measure of a man, because they measure it to the man. So midovad, he haksones, which is the shirt.
It's a tailored tunic.
Yeah, what's that?
It's like a tailored tunic.
Yeah. Umata malomar mido, it has to fit his mido. That's why it's called mido. Al basaro, shalo yehidara chotzes ben tayim. There should be nothing separating between the pants and his body. The herimus hadeshen, he would stir up or kind of like lift, stir out, pull out, draw out a fire pan full from the consumed inner coals or ashes. And he would put them on the east side of the ramp. Okay, that's Trumas Hadeshen. That's the lifting of the Deshen. Moving on in Pasuk 4. I'm sorry, I move on in this Rashi. Hadeshen asher tochal ha'eshes ha'ola va'asa deshen, and that fire which consumed the ola made it into deshen. Me'asa deshen, from that deshen, deshen is a singular noun, but it means the collection of ashes, right? In Hebrew it's called deshen. So me'asa deshen, from that deshen, yarim truma, he shall lift up an elevated thing, right? And place it next to the Mizbeach. So says Rashi, Al HaMizbeach, Rashi is going on the words before that in the Pasuk, the Ola on the Mizbeach, and then place the ashes next to the Mizbeach. So Al HaMizbeach, says Rashi, Matza Evarim Shadayin LeMisachlu, if he finds limbs of the Ola that have not yet been consumed after the whole night's worth of burning, Machziran Al HaMizbeach, so he puts them back on the altar after he drew or stirred the coals this way and that way. And he had already taken from the inner ones. So Rashi's saying that that after he did the Trumas Hadeshen, he would make sure that whatever hadn't been consumed by fire would then get pushed back in to be consumed at that point.
What was the Trumas Hadeshen?
The elevation of the ashes.
Okay, moving the thing to the ramp.
The special ritual of lifting up these ashes, right. Right. A sample of these ashes.
What was the Ola?
Ola was... it could have been an Ola's oath, but as it says in the very beginning, it could be Minabakar, Minatzon, it could have been cattle, sheep, depending, at a certain age. The Ola would, yeah. So,
is it talk to lift or is it just moving? Because I was looking at like what Behari means, and so in Onkos Veyafresh. So is it just like it would scoot it or was it like a hagbah?
I always assume that Trumas Hadeshen, Haramas, and the language the Gemara uses, the Mishnah uses, the Rambam uses, Haramas, which is elevation of lifting up of.
Targum says Veyafresh.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Which is like separation. So how does he translate to Trumas Hagaran over there in Midbar? No, you're right, probably right. Let's say, let me look over here. But hey, Rumas Hadeshin, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yafish, yes, Kitma, separation of the world. Shadow of the Sun. Hmm. Trying to see where else he would, how else he translates Truma. Over there by let's see what we have
about Midbar. I mean, like, when you say Truma is a lesson of separation, isn't it?
No, it's elevate, it's lifting up. It's like, yeah, it does separate in the process, but Truma has like a harimosem Truma. There, it's almost you shall elevate or lift up the Truma. I'm almost sure about that. But now you're making me doubt myself, which is a good thing.
I can say what our scroll says.
What does our scroll say? That'll help.
It says he shall separate, and then they put in this. It says some of the ashes.
Yeah, that's it separates. Yeah, they're going with Targum. Okay, that's very good.
But they're not actually doing anything to the Ola. They're actually just doing
this
to the
ashes. Yeah, this is just the ashes. Okay. Yeah, there's nothing to do with the Ola, really. Matter of fact, not for now, but the paragraph opens with Zos Toras HaOla. This is the law of the Ola, and then it almost doesn't tell you anything about the Ola, and it's a real problem. They deal with that. It deals with the Eish. It deals with the. Yeah. 1 second. Where are we on the Levium? The Levium are going to be in the end of Nasa over there. No, I'm sorry. The end of. Yeah, here it is. At the end of Midbar. Let's just see how we. I mean, that gives me pause that our school goes and calls it Mayor, what's your understanding of Truma?
I'm
sorry. Heavy M.
What?
Heavy M. Yeah.
Yeah, moving up is what I.
Yeah, lifting up.
So I didn't really. Truthfully, when I was going through this, I didn't really understand why it was called this. Like, Truma. Like, I'm thinking, like, Truma, because it's getting. I couldn't figure out why we call it Truma Hadeshen. Like, I was really confused by that. Because, like, when I think Truma, like, whatever, I'm going with the idea of, putting on him.
Yeah. All right, we'll have to hold that in abeyance. Obviously, you've got something there, like Targum says, and our skull goes and goes fixed with that. So let's leave that meanwhile. But let's try to follow up on that. So, either way, he's taking the ashes out of this whole thing, right? And he is placing it somewhere else. Is he lifting it up? That's a good question. That's a good question. Right now, I see no reason to insist on that. Okay, moving on in the Rashi here, in the pasuk, verse 4. This is a very important pasuk. And he shall take off his begadim and put on other begadim. So now he's done in verse 3, he's done whatever the Torah wants you to do when you do Heirim HaSadeshin. He's done that. He's placed it next to Mizrach. Ufashadis begadav. Right? He shall take off his clothing, velavash begadim mecherim, and put on other begadim. But whatever it meaning, it's not going to be the midah vado mitnasei vad that he's wearing in pasuk 3. Well, tzias hadeshen amichus hamachaneh, and he takes the deshen and the ashes to outside the camp, el makom tahar, to a tahar place. Rashi, upashadas begadav, ein zu chova, says Rashi. This is not an obligation. This is not a mitzvah. El derech eretz. This is proper behavior. Shlo yilachlech b'hatzas hadeshen begadim shehu mishamish behem tamid. He should not dirty up through taking out the deshen, the begadim that he serves in all the time. And he goes on and quotes the language of the Gemara in Shabbos. Begadim shabisho behen kedera l'rabo. Begadim that you use to cook food for your master, al yimzik behen kosa rabo. You don't go out and serve and mix the wine and serve the servant, meaning that the way the chef is dressed in the kitchen is different than the way the butler is dressed in the banquet hall. Right, so therefore, here, this is all preparation. So therefore, you wear other begadim other than the dekuhuna to do this, to take these ashes out, says Rashi, because this is kind of like, you know, kitchen work. And therefore, you put on, says Rashi, v'lavash begadim achirim, others, v'chusam ahem. The word achirim means lesser begadim. So you're going to wear lesser begadim. Rashi gets that from the Gemara in Yoma and other places it means lesser. So you're going to wear less significant clothing. Is it going to be bigde kahuna? Is it going to be clothing that still qualifies as bigde kahuna? That's an open question. Lesser would seem to be something other than bigde kahuna. Would seem to be. Okay.
Is there ever a time when the kohanim would wear something that wasn't special bigde kahuna?
When they weren't doing the avoda.
They could wear regular, regular clothes.
Right, and that's and your question only opens up. So, is this avoda or not? Is this taking out in verse 4 part of the service in the Beis Hamikdash just called an avoda, like the slaughtering of an animal, the throwing of the blood on the mizbeach, the kindling of the Torah? Is it or is it not? And if it is, in what way would it be lesser begadim? It would have to be big day kuhuna, but lesser, which maybe it could be. It could be less fine, whatever it is. But Rashi says that this is derech eretz. It's proper to put on other clothing. Okay.
So it's not the same deshen as
Behrim's
deshen.
Right. That's trumas deshen, and this is the rest of the deshen. Yeah. This is the other deshen on the mizbeach that they're getting rid of. And then this, as the Rambam describes in the Gemara, really the Mishnah and Talmud, this is anybody else other than the one who's doing the trumas deshen. Right. Somebody lifts up this or separates this Trumas HaDeshen, and then the other Kohanim comes storming up and just get rid of all the other Deshen. Anybody, it's not considered the same privilege, and it's not considered to be reserved for one person, right? So it's different, right? This is the rest of the Deshen. Okay. V'hotzias HaDeshen, says Rashi, what Deshen? Hatzavur b'tapuach, which is gathered, collected, piled in the tapuach. The tapuach was the center dome-like little rise in the center of the Mizbeach. You understand the Mizbeach was 32 by 32 square, so 32 amos. So we're talking about the Mizbeach was almost as big as this entire Kol Beis Medrash. I mean, you're talking about a lot of people who were able to work up there at once, and it was a big place. In the middle, they had a thing called a Tapuach. I meant to bring my, Machane Mikdash, dramatic, beautiful pictures. I want to rationalize why I spent so much money to get it. But I forgot to bring it. It was raining and so there's this tapuach in the middle of this big mizbeach, and that's where they piled all the ashes. So it says Rashi, the ashes which are tzavur, but tapuach is shehu rabba when there's a lot. When there's a lot, the ein makom ma'aracha, and there's no room left for the ma'aracha, for setting up the atam ma'aracha and the other things. Matziya misham, he takes the ashes out. The ein ze chova b'chol yom. This is not an obligation. This is not part of the mitzvah that has to be done every day. right? This is done whenever you need to. Kishuhu Rabba, when you need to, right? When you run out of space, you got too many ashes, they take it out. Avol Truma, says Rashi, the Truma, meaning the Truma Sadeshen, Chova B'chol Yom, is an obligation every single day. Okay. All right, so Rashi is real clear, and the Rashi in Chulin is very consistent with himself over here, that the mitzvah of Hatzas Hadeshen, taking out the ashes from the Mizbeach, which follows Trumas Hadeshen, that first thing in verse Gimel, verse 3, that is not a requirement, and it wasn't even done every day as a routine. It was only done per knees. So now Rashi has, just putting it all together, Rashi has him taking off his clothing as Derech Eretz, on an action, to do an action which is also not going to be a required action. It's an action that's done when needed, which is when you have too many ashes, right? So I'm just summarizing this Rashi. Okay.
Can I ask?
Yes, sure.
I'm a little confused.
Yeah.
Rashi says it's Derech Eretz that mm-hmm. he moves part of the extra ashes.
No, Derech Eretz that he changes his clothing.
Oh, that he changes his clothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
The moving the ashes is a necessary thing.
Because the moving the ashes is not part of the big day kahuna?
The moving the ashes is not part of the service of the kahuna movement?
Right, right.
Oh, that he doesn't say because of that. We could infer that the moving of the ashes is not part of the avoda. Right. It's just like, it's like homework. It's like, you know, sweeping the floor of the Azara. I mean, it's better than more than that, but you know, it's not everything they did in the Beis Hamikdash that made it work was avoda. There were some, you know, prerequisite behaviors and undertakings, and washing the floor or whatever. That wasn't a voter.
So, but that's why the Kohen would change his clothes.
Evidently.
Okay.
It's reasonable connection.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is when I initially thought I didn't see the part about the begad and acherim are the lesser clothes. Mitzvah Sevat's the nicer clothes.
Yes.
Yes. I understood, and what makes sense is, at least from the Rashi, I think logically, mm-hmm. is if you're cooking or you're making making mm-hmm. wine, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that's when you wear your junkier clothes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're moving around ash around a big fire, you're going to get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem to be that way. If you wear your nice clothes when you're doing the avoda, and the carrying it in a nice container is when you wear your lesser clothes.
Well, why do you say it's carrying a nice container? You mean, oh yeah, well,
because they don't pick it up in their hand. I mean, they put it in.
They had an amount. It was hot stuff. They couldn't even. They had to put it in a pan.
Well, exactly.
In a container.
But I'm saying that's not the dirt. It's not dirty work to carry something, as opposed to scooping up. Clean out a fireplace if you've ever done that. It gets ashy and dirty.
Yeah.
The avoda that seems to be dirty is when they're wearing the nicer clothes.
Well, just be aware. The Truma Sadeshin required them to take the same volume of ashes as they would do for a kmitza,
right.
Which is what would fit into a palm, right? Like that. So that's not really dirty work, right? And they didn't do it in their palm. They did it in a pan because they couldn't touch it. So we're talking about a very small volume of ashes.
They probably had a long time.
That, according to the way Rashi has us understand it, they're still wearing the mitzvah sevad. That's not considered to do the cooking in the kitchen. This is a special avoda called Truma Sadeshin. Then they switch out of that as Derech Eretz and go into more work clothing. And they do the whole kit and caboodle of ashes that they have to get out whenever they did need it. And when they didn't, right, when they had a large volume, they got rid of it. Every other day, every 3 days, whatever. Right, so therefore the kitchen work is the second thing.
So the Hotziah Sedeshin is the all the other day.
That's right, Hotziah Sedeshin, all the other stuff that's left after they were komate, so to speak, they did the kmitza of the Truma Sadeshin.
And what was the Makom Tahor?
Where was it?
What's the Makom Tahor outside the just any, was it just anywhere that wasn't like a graveyard kind of?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And it was also a place that I think the Rambam described at the end. It was a place that nobody would use because it was Ashabana.
The Beis Medrash have this too?
What's that?
The Beis Medrash is like, it's a Machane.
This is outside of Machane Yisrael. This is like, this is outside Yerushalayim.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Mechutz Machane outside of Yerushalayim, somewhere outside of settled place. That's where they would take the ash, yeah. At least finally they would. It seems that there's this middle stage as well. But right now, what we're reading is, he takes off his clothes, puts on other lower clothes, takes the desh, and amachus amachana amachon tahar. Okay, right. Now, Pasuk 5 was the source of the mitzvah that we studied several weeks ago, which is the Eish Tamid Tukar al Mizbeach. Right, so we're not going to go into that. There's no more reference to anything having to do with Truma Sedeshin in that pasuk. So here we have it. Okay. Let's see, where do we go from here? So I wanted to read you a Rashi in the Sefer Yoma. I think we should go there. Well, maybe we should go to the Rambam. Here, like, since we don't have a lot of people here, we really could use the original Rambams if you want. But here's the handout. I copied all of it, so... And I neglected to copy the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvah, so we're going to have to get that. But I don't really want to go there right away. I actually want to get that last. So. Okay, so the Rambam in Hilchos Tmidim U'Musafim, right, this is part of the Sefer HaAvodah, which is the service in the Beis HaMikdash. And in Sefer HaAvodah, one of the sections is Tmidim U'Musafim. First he has Yisroel Mizbeach, he has Ma'aser Korbanos. And he has Tfilin Musafim in the second chapter, Perek Beis Halacha Yud. So just so you won't think that I am covering over any relevant information, till Halacha Yud in the second chapter, he's talking about the mitzvah of the fire and the various marachas, the marachas shniya, shlishis. We talked about that last time. The surim of putting out the fire, how you set up the wood, how you get it, how you keep the fire going, etc. That's all that. That comes from Pasuk 5. Now, Halacha Yud is our issue. Says the Rambam, Haramas Hadeshen Me'al HaMizbeach. Got that fish on the top? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Haramas Hadeshen Me'al HaMizbeach B'chol Yom. Separating or lifting. I don't know. It's hard for me to say the word separating. I'm sorry. Perek Beis of Tmidim
and
Mesachim.
It was Perek Hey. I know I
really?
Knew what
oh my
we were
gosh.
Talking about.
I said Perek Hay in the
it
email?
It was like, yeah, it says 5:13. It was like, it says Sederach HaLechem, and I was like, after that point, I was like, I don't know what you're going
of
for.
Of course. I'm so sorry, I had no idea. Are you, really?
The position you made already connected.
Yeah, I was trying. First I got lost by the Tafuach. Then I was like, I don't know what Rashi's talking about.
I'm so sorry. Oh, I see. And the Rashi, that I can't apologize for, but the 5:13, I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway, it's chapter 2, Halacha 10. Trumas had Haramas Hadeshen. Okay, Me'al HaMizbeach B'chol Yom Mitzvah Saseh. So lifting, separating, I'm not sure how to translate it anymore. I always thought Haramas is always lifting. But all right, something the Deshen from the altar every day is a Mitzvah Saseh. It's a positive commandment. Shenemar V'Hirimas Hadeshen. He's quoting that pasuk that we just saw. V'hi avoda, it is an avoda, it's a service, may avodas kahuna, of the services that the kahuna were required to provide. Big day kahuna, shetarim b'hem hadeshen, and, listen to this, the big day kahuna that he uses for torin, for lifting or separating the deshen, this act, yehiyu p'chusim en avagadim shemashash b'hem b'shar avodas, should be less than the begadim that he does all the other times, shenamar, as it says, Ufashat es begadav, v'lavash begadim achirim, v'heirim es hadeshem. He shall take off his clothing and put on other clothing and lift the or separate the deshen. Eino omer achirim sheyihu bigdei chol. He doesn't mean to say others, meaning non-holy. Ela sheyihu pechusim en arishanim, but they should be less than the ones that he was previously wearing. Why, says the Rambam? Lefisha eino derech eretz. Because it's not considered derech eretz a yimzo kos l'rabo, that he should pour wine for his rebbe, master, not rebbe, his master, but begadim shabisha behem kadera l'rabo, and the same clothing that he used to cook in them. Now there's some very weird things about this Rambam. I will give you $1,000 if you find the pasuk that the Rambam quotes. And obviously, because there is no such pasuk, and I know it, and I've checked it out. Okay, look at the pasuk that the Rambam quotes. The Rambam says that the begadim that he wears when he does Trumas HaDeshen should be less than the begadim that he serves at other things. And it says, Ufashad is begadav. That sounds familiar. V'lavash begadim achirim. That sounds familiar. V'heirim is HaDeshen. That's not what it says. It says, V'hotzi is HaDeshen. And the pasuk it says, he shall take out the Deshen. And as a matter of fact, the Rambam is shocking altogether. Forget about misquoting the pasuk. The Rambam is telling you that the pasuk that says that you should switch his clothing, which appears in the Torah after the mitzvah of separating the deshen and lifting the deshen, and is referring to hotzias deshen, the Rambam is telling you that action of switching into those clothing happens before you even start. At the beginning, when you trumas deshen, when the first movement you make, that special kohen who won the lottery, who's going up there to do trumas deshen, is already not wearing normal gadin because the pasuk says so. And he goes on and gives you, which is very unusual also, this is also a second half weirdness, that instead of just telling you, because the pasuk says do that, the Rambam gives you a reason, right? It's not derech eretz. I understand when the Gemara does that. I understand when Rashi does that in Chumash, because we're trying to see what you learn from it. But to give it as the basis for a halachic practice, when you have a pasuk, very weird, right? But the Rambam includes that. So we'll leave that alone. But the main problem is that the Rambam quotes a pasuk that doesn't exist, and clearly the Rambam understands that pasuk that we do have is a pasuk that is intended to refer also to the Truma Sadeshin, not just to the Hotza'a Sadeshin, not just to taking out all the remaining ashes.
The Rambam is simply putting the two, there is no Haram and Hotza, it's one single thing.
We would see. So let's read on and see how that works out. Evidently something like that. Moving on in the Rambam, a Masai Tamin Hadeshin. When do you do the Truma Sadeshin B'chol Yom? Mishayala Amad HaShachar. From the time of daybreak, dawn break. Over Golim on Yom Tov Mitchilah Shemtzai Shalayla, from the beginning of the middle third of the night. The night's divided into three parts. The middle third, meaning let's assume the night is 12 hours, so the beginning of the middle 4 hours, which would, if the night is 6 to 6, so it would be 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock on. Why on the Regalim would it be earlier? Because you have more work to do during the day, and so they wanted to give more time to get it all done because they had more karbanas. So therefore, they start earlier. Over Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippur, they start a little later. They wanted to make sure the Kohen had plenty of time because the Kohen Gadol alone was doing the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So therefore, they backed up the Trumas Hadeshen to the middle of the night, not to the dawn, because they wanted to get started as soon as possible in the morning with other things because they had a big, tall order. Okay. So that's when you did it. The Gemara does prove in Yoma, I believe it's more in Yoma. Yeah, the Gemara in Yoma proves that the Trumas Hadeshen could occur any time during the night, but the way that they actually did it was typically Yeshayala or Shachar, but when they needed to, they went earlier. Keitza Tarmin. How would they do the Tarmin? Mi Shazacha Litrom, the one who merited doing it, and the Rambam says it this way because even though there was a pious, there was a lottery, but that was instituted after other systems ended up breaking down, meaning people got injured. So it's not that there's a halacha of a lottery, it's just a good idea. So therefore the Rambam doesn't mention it because it's not like you have to have a lottery. You can kill somebody and win if you want, but it's just not a good idea. So that's people broke limbs and stuff. So Misha Zacha Litrum Tovel Velovish Bigdei Truma, the one who merited to do the Truma is Tovel, he goes to the mikvah, Velovish Bigdei Hamrama, and wears the proper clothing that you're supposed to wear, which are not the normal Bigdei Kuhuna, as the Rambam said already two halachas before. But Makadesh Yedav Raglav, and he purifies his hands in the proper way, in the Kiyar, and the Gemara and Tamid goes and explains how that happened. Right hand over his right foot, his left hand over right, whatever. Va'omrim lo, and they say to him, he's there, be careful, shamatika bekeli, adjitikta shedach v'raglecha. Make sure not to touch any holy vessel until you sanctify your hands and feet. That's the whole point. So therefore, he's makadosh his hands first. Va'acha kach lekeach ha-machta, then he takes the pan, v'shokesifice, it was made out of silver. V'hi haisa nesuna b'miktsoa, it was in the corner, ben kevesh l'mizbeach, between the ramp and the altar, b'ma'arava shokevesh, on the east of the ramp. Just so you get a picture of this. You have, this is going to be the worst picture of the Beis Mikdash ever. Okay. So you have, okay, here, let's just say that this is the rectangle of the Temple Mount. Here is today's coastal of Ma'arava, he's now been facing this way. Therefore, that's the west, this is the east, right? This is north, and this is south, okay? And this is west over here, and the Heichal was here, and the Mizbeach was here. The ramp was running this way, and the Mizbeach was here. Okay, that's basically it. So the ramp was 20 amos, if I remember correctly, the ramp was 20 amos long. Yeah. Fascinating geometry, by the way, because with the... Yeah, exactly. With the information that we have about the height of the Mizbeach and the length of the ramp, you could figure out the exact angle and everything because, it's, you know, obviously. Anyway, so the ramp ran down here. So the west of the Tevis was this side, right there in the corner. So the pan that he picked up, he went up the ramp and he picked up the pan right there. Rambam says it was in the what? It was in the corner of the ramp on the west side, right up there when you get up there to the Mizbeach. Okay? Where am I? Oh, I'm looking. I'm reading off my. I lost my place because I went to the printout as opposed to the Rambam here. Okay. So he would. There was found there in the. On that place in that corner, right? V'note la samachta, and he would say, make sure it follows this. I'm going to read from the Frankel Rambam. V'note la samachta. And he takes the fire pan, but Ola LaRosh HaMizbeach, he goes up to the top of the Mizbeach, Umefana Esa Gacholim Helech VeHelech, and he pushes the coal this way and that way, V'chosim Ena Gacholim Shenis Achlu B'Lav HaEsh, and he draws or picks up, I don't know what the word would be, there's a word, from the coals that were consumed in the tongue of the flame. I'm pretty sure that's Lav Ha'esh, not Lev Ha'esh. Lav Ha'esh. The Yored Lamata La'aretz. And then he goes down to the ground. What does he do? V'hofech panel b'tzafon. He turns to the north. Doesn't mean he turns to the north. Which means he came down, his back was to the north, right? He was facing south. So he turns around. And he goes, faces north. U'mahalech ba'aretz l'mizrach ha'kevesh. And he goes on the ground to the east. Which means he came down, he turns around, and he goes to the east of the ramp. Mm. Yeah. Kamo Eser Amos, Kapi HaTzafon, 10 Amos towards the north, right? V'tzove Eser Kachalon Shekhasa Agabi HaRitzpah, and he piles the coals that he stirred up or that he lifted, that he removed onto the pan, onto the floor. Rachak Men HaKevesh Shlosha Tzfachim, 3 Tzfachim, which is approximately 9 to 12 inches, a foot, from the ramp, from Makom Shenosin Maros of the Dishan of Mizbeach Apnimi of Amenorah, in the same place that they placed the feathers of the all the stuff that went out from the oath that didn't go on the Mizbeach, and also the Ketores that was removed after having been burnt in the inner Mizbeach, and also the menorah, the stuff from the menorah, the old wicks and stuff like that. This chatiyah, removal through the pan that he did and took down to the ground is the mitzvah of every single day. Right? The Rambam has just framed it. He's just finished it. And he has nothing about Hatzas Hadesh, and he hasn't talked about what we have as Pasuk Dalet yet. Okay?
This is the first step in the Ash.
Yeah, right, in the whole Ash business. Right. And this is, but he says, and this is he hamitzvah shel kol yom, which is going to be a little bit it's going to be challenging to us to say that it's all one thing, you know, but we'll see.
Just yeah. Basically, he walks down the ramp back facing the Mizbeach.
Yeah,
just take turn 9 degrees to his left.
I don't know if it's 90, I think it's 180. He turns the way facing it.
Yeah. It's a Yui.
Yeah, it's a Yui, right. And then walks halfway. It's 10 amas, it's right smack in the middle of the
right.
ramp.
Right, that's
and
right.
And then
that's
a
right.
foot from the ramp.
That's right.
And then what do they put it in? Like, if it's also like this like
ground.
A receptacle with all like chicken feathers? And
no, they put it in the ground. They put it right there in the ground. The Gemara says that there was a nace that it all got absorbed into the ground, but that's itself a discussion. But they just put it in the ramp.
Why is there so much emphasis placed on how many steps and to what degree, you know, he's going at a 45-degree angle? Or
mm-hmm.
Why is there such... Because it's dealing with the basic mikdash?
But you mean, like, what? Who cares? Like, suppose he did it somewhere else. Suppose he put it, like, I don't know. I don't know.
There's a practical part to that. When I was younger, I was at camp, and somebody took coals out of the fire pit and put it next to the fire pit, and I wasn't wearing shoes, and I got really bad burns on the bottom of my feet. So there's a practical aspect to they didn't wear shoes.
Right.
And you're putting super hot coal
somewhere.
Somewhere.
Right. They did have, the truth is, it was a Ritzpah Sazara, that they had stone floor. So I assume that the area that they put it down was actually left open, you know, to put it on the ground itself. But I don't know that for sure.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, when it says, so it was like hit them? Because it
might have been like the tiles
untiled.
Removed. Yeah, untiled, right. Yeah. Okay.
That's where they also collected the other.
Wouldn't it be fascinating if they, after archaeologists came along and said, we have this, this fire pit like in the middle of the Temple Mount? We don't get it. I mean, we know there are altars, but the concentration of ashes goes down several hundred feet. Anyway. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised. Okay. And then even verse 13, halacha 13. Do we have that? Achar? Yes. Achar sheyorad zeh shetaram. After this guy did his job and came down, Ratzin achiv hakonim, echav hakonim, his brethren, umakachin yedayim v'raglayim, they washed their hands v'mehera quickly. The notedness of my grave is they took the rakes, v'esat tsinaros, another tool with a long handle. V'olun l'roshim mizbeach, and they went to the top.
I'm sorry, with another kind of rake?
Some tool, some long...
pitchfork.
Maybe. I really don't know what it was. But my grave was certainly a rake. I don't know what the tsinaros was. Tsinor normally means a pipe. So it was something that had a very long handle. It was to help them manipulate the stuff on the mizbeach.
Okay.
So, and then they went up, and all the limbs of the olos and the emurim, the various parts of the animals that had not yet been consumed all night long, mazuna samusani mizbeach, they would return them to the sides. They may not set a mazikin, and if the sides wouldn't hold them because there was no room there, sojuna sam bekevish kenegat asavev, they would put them on the ramp itself near the Selvig. Why? Because the ramp had a halacha like a mizbeach. You're not allowed to take something on the mizbeach off the mizbeach. So when then you now need to deal with the ashes on the mizbeach, and you've got stuff that hasn't been consumed yet, and it's got to be consumed. So you're going to push it to the side. But if there's no room on the side, then you went down on the kevesh itself, which had a halacha on the of the mizbeach itself, so you weren't guilty of taking something off the mizbeach, which would be a serious problem, and it opens up all kinds of halacha questions. It's a whole question of machlokes in the Gemara and Zvachim, whether stuff that came off the mizbeach inappropriately could be put back on. You never want to take it off. So the Rambam is saying you're going to temporarily push the stuff to the side, and then you rake the deshin b'magrefos because sarei mizbeach. You rake it with rakes from all sides of the ashes. Umalin also arima al gabi atapuach, and you—I think it means you pile it up on the tapuach. The gofen may also arima the pasechter, and then you would rake from that big pile into this container called a pasechter. The hukli gadol, and the Rambam says, I'll tell you what it is. It's a big vessel shemaslik lesech that holds. I think it means ashes, and I don't know what lesef is, some kind of a fine powder or something. And you take it down. I'm not sure what lesef means. Uvaragalim, on Yom Tov, they didn't take it down. They didn't take all the stuff down. They would leave this big pile very tall. Because it was an adornment for the Mizbeach. They said, look at all these karbanas that Klai Yisrael brought. So you'd have this huge pile. It was a nice thing. They had a lot of work, I'm sure, after Yom Tov.
Let me ask a question.
Yes, yes.
We said the mizbeach, for lack of a better definition, is about the size of the base mattress.
I'm saying 60 by 60 feet.
For argument's sake, the size of the base.
I'm just trying to give you the scale.
If the thing has been burning all night, even if it was a cow, and it was a cow.
It's not a thing, it's several cows.
Oh, I thought it was...
Oh, no.
Okay.
All 70 kinds of cows were brought on Sukkot.
On Sukkot, total. Yeah, but I'm saying, every day was a different thing. There was Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, there were Kabbalahs, there were private things, there was Chattas, there was...
I thought it was one, because I was like, if it was that big, how could the fire not have consumed...
No, they had
70 cows is a different...
They had a basic Mikdash calendar with all kinds of lists and reservations. And,
okay.
Yeah, there was private stuff and public stuff. It was serious. It was a very busy place. Yeah. A lot of ashes. Okay. Ba'af I'm sorry, did I get that? Akomi Sharata. Okay. Now, this is all important in terms of how we're going to analyze this if we get the time. Komi Sharata min akonim. Anybody who wants to, anybody, right? To me, it seems a little bit more expansive than the term we used before, that Ratzim Echav HaKohanim, before in 13 he has his brethren the Kohanim. Sounds to me like those are the people from the Mishmar, from his own special family, because every family had a different appointed time to serve. And Echav HaKohanim, it could mean all the Kohanim, but Nekom Mishar Ratzim HaKohanim sounds to me like it means everybody, including people who weren't on duty. They fill up from the dashes that they took down, and they take it outside. There was no lottery for taking the ashes outside, anybody who wanted to. But no Kohen ever was lazy or lethargic, I guess the word would be, from taking out the dashen. Okay. So he's talking clearly about going from the Lo the Mizbeach to outside. That's 14. But till 14, you were taking it down from the Mizbeach to the ground down below, right? Now in 14, he's talking about the ashes that had already been taken down Lamata, right? See, here's the question I'm trying to deal with. What is he talking about in 14? When did the Rambam ever mention the other ashes going down? He said, oh yes, he did. He mentioned all the other ashes in the Perechter, in the Pesechter. The Pesechter put in that big container, all the Kohanim who, other than the one who won the thing, that took event, and they took Marino Salamata. Now the Rambam's saying, from down there to outside, this is no big deal, right? But nobody ever was lazy about that, right? So even though it wasn't a big, exciting job, but nobody was ever held back from that. Clearly the Rambam is treating the stage of going from the ground to outside differently than the stage of going from on top of the Mizbeach down to the bottom, because he talks about them separately. I mean, he just talks about them separately, right? Here he says, Kol Misha Ratzim Min HaKohanim Amala Min HaDeshen. This is something else other than what he just said, his brethren the Kohanim would run up and take it down, right? Now, anybody who wants to, Amala Min HaDeshen Shavid Lamata, would fill from the Deshen that they took below and take it outside. To the pouring place of the deshen. Okay, halacha 15. Even though taking it outside is not an avoda, meaning you don't need all the laws of avoda. Ain bali mumen matzinos. Nevertheless, a blemished coin would never do it. Okay, or maybe he's not allowed to. When you do take it out, you take it to a place where there's no lot of wind. Below ha. Can't read it with my eyes. Has a ramim garfenoso and no tools. I don't know. Would rake it and spread it around. Below you fazrenu sham, and you don't spread it. You don't sprinkle it. You put it down carefully. Shememers it says v'samo that it should be placed. Sheani chenu benachas should be placed calmly. For usulamos, but you're not allowed to benefit from it. The rabbi jumps immediately on this over here and says, Amar Avram, what are you talking about? Ze lo nemra ella al trimas adeshen. This pasuk v'samo is not referring to all the deshen that you're taking outside. It's only talking about the trimas adeshen. Ve'ein me'ila ella v'trimas adeshen. The only thing you're not allowed to have benefit from is the trimas adeshen, but the ashes themselves, the rest of it that's taken out there. Why is the Rambam telling me this din over here? He's stealing a din that's reserved for trimas adeshen, says the rabbi, and he's putting it on all of the deshen. Okay. So that's the Rambam here. Now we have, I can't believe I'm bringing Sefer Mitzvot. Let me just get quickly to Sefer Mitzvot because I want to give you the language of the Rambam. This is like, this is the coup de grace over here. Mr. 30. So here, the language of the Rambam is Mitzvah Shloshim. Hi, Shetzavu Akonim, Lahasir Hadeshen, to remove the Deshen. Oh, good, you got it? Oh, yeah, that one's a little. You have the Shloshim there? So it's after the Shloshim, yeah. Probably a different print, that's not the Franklin. You got number 30?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Vahasir HaDeshen, he doesn't use the word latrom, right? Vahasir HaDeshen, to remove the deshen. V'chol yomi agav yomuzbeach. Right, so the Rambam starts with the mitzvah to remove the ashes. What are you talking about? What about latrom mei HaDeshen, to separate from the deshen? Right? He doesn't do that. V'zehu hanikra trumas HaDeshen. Removing the ashes is called truma sedeshen. Who amar yisala the lavasha kohen midabat the heirim es hadeshen. Right. So the Rambam is referring to that pasuk, which is something different than the hotzias hadeshen, and he calls it lahasir hadeshen. Right. So this is really not cute. Isn't the right word, but it's certainly intriguing. I just want to point out that in the what they call the rimzei hamitzos, which means the short indexing of the mitzvahs that the Rambam provides at the beginning of each of his sections. So when he gets to this mitzvah, he calls it laharim es hadeshen b'chol yom. That's the word you want to use, because that's what the pasuk is, to separate or lift up, whatever laharim is. Anyway, but laharim, whatever verb it is, b'chol yom. And then the Rambam goes along in Halacha 10, as we have printed, and he says Haramas Hadesh Me'amas Be'chol Yom, and he clearly is distinguishing that from the Hatzas Hadesh, in which he talks about afterwards in Yedalit. But here the Rambam says the mitzvah is this mitzvah number is Lahasir Hadesh. So you can take note of this Rambam in two ways. One way to take note of it is, why is he calling it Hasaras Hadeshen, removal of the Deshen, when it's only a mitzvah to take some of the Deshen and put it down, and the rest is not the number two is, why wouldn't the Rambam count Hatzaras Hadeshen as a separate mitzvah? Count, make two mitzvahs, have mitzvah number 31 be the rest of it. It's in the same pasuk. Why does one part of the pasuk get to be a mitzvah, the other part of the pasuk about Hatzaras Hadeshen, taking it out, that part doesn't count as a mitzvah? So clearly what we're heading to is, we're stuck a little bit, but we're almost forced into concluding that Rambam understands the whole kit and caboodle of lifting up and taking it out. It's two processes of one goal. There's a goal called get rid of the ashes from the Mizbeah. Now, how do you do that? First, take the fire pan and take a drop of it and separate it or lift it up and take it down to the floor. Then take the rest of it and get rid of it, right? And take it off the Mizbeah. Where are you going to put it? Down below. Then there's something else called getting it out of the city, which wasn't limited really to a kohen, but we didn't use bali mumma, but they didn't have to wear big kahuna, and it wasn't an avoda, and nobody was lazy from it, but it wasn't a mitzvah. That was something else. But getting it all off the mizbeach was the mitzvah, and the way to do it is with this very coveted trumas hadeshen, followed by the taking of the deshen off the mizbeach. It seems to be that the Rambam understands it conceptually, that it's how to do the process of getting all the ashes off the mizbeach. Now, going back to the Rambam that we quoted in Halacha 10, remember we had the problem of the Rambam playing around with the pasuk and quoting a pasuk using Heirimus Hadeshim, which had already been said before. So I think the Rambam is trying to say like this. This whole, I think that the Rambam, including the whole lesson about Derech Eretz, Sheyimza Kosla Rabo, the Rambam takes out of that a lot more than we would have thought. The Rambam is saying, that's not just a nice insight. That's actually telling you how to understand this whole deal here. It's kind of like what you were saying. When you at first understood that the messy clothing was necessary for the Trumas Hadeshen, the Rambam is saying like this. From the fact that the Torah tells us that he's wearing other clothing, and the Gemara goes and says, because Eina Derech Eretz Sheyimzog, I now know that that concept applies to the whole thing. Therefore, I read the pasuk when it says in pasuk 3. Pasuk 4. He takes off his clothes. That doesn't mean now. It means and he has already. He will have taken off his clothes and wear other things. The hotzias hadeshen is what the pasuk says, and the Rambam says v'heirimus hadeshen, meaning he's saying that's all of that is because all of this is one act of getting of taking care of the kitchen work and the mizbeah. So the Rambam is saying, therefore, I know that the changing of the clothing happens even before, even though the pasuk mentions it after it mentioned Trumas Hadeshen, but the pasuk just means he will have taken off his clothing.
Practically speaking, when would he have done it? If you change, if all of this is done, there's the separating,
yeah,
and then a changing of clothes,
and then somebody else does it. But
so when that's the case, when does he change his clothes? He gets the bottom of the ramp, changes clothes, and then does it.
Yeah, I guess it means other kohanim changed from their big day kohana, which they were wearing while they were doing nothing, right?
Or they were,
because talking to Aaron about it. What
I'm saying, like, if he's saying it's all one action, there is,
yeah,
gathering.
It's one conceptual.
Then,
it's one go.
Right. So,
yeah.
Well, if that, okay, but it's one, yeah, one process. So the question is,
right,
is the Truma Deshan, the one putting it aside in the middle of that,
yeah,
is the change of clothes occur then, or is the change of clothes only after you, when you're doing all of the collect it all, and then you change another clothes to carry to outside the camp, whatever.
He clearly holds that the change of clothes, the Rambam says clearly, you change of clothes before you do even the beginning of it. He says that.
So, practically speaking, when you do that, you're at the bottom of the ramp, you're holding super hot coals.
He goes to the mikvah. Yeah, he goes to the mikvah, and when he gets dressed, he's putting on begadim achirim, lesser clothes than the normal big day clothes.
Oh, so it's not the coals, and then... I
right.
thought that was the first action. The action is moving coals.
No.
Wait, I'm totally confused now. He had his big day kahuna, he had his...
He was dressed up.
And then he went to the mikvah.
Wins
the lottery.
Good.
Goes to the mikvah. Gets whatever the tools were. Goes to the mizvah.
Well, wait a minute. Goes to the mikvah. Puts on other clothes.
Which are lesser clothes.
Lesser clothes, but they're still big day kahuna.
Okay, but they're
right.
Like work day,
yeah,
big day
right.
kahuna clothes.
Yeah, the kitchen
goes
clothes.
To, goes
yeah.
to the mizvah.
Yeah.
Takes, use the rakes and whatever the other instrument is.
Yeah.
It, gets the stuff.
No, he goes in his bath and gets just a small fire pan of stuff like this much. Goes down and puts it down, does the walk to 10 amos and puts it down on the ground. Other kohanim run up to the altar with their tools, rake up all the ashes to the middle, fill up this big vessel, and then carry it down and dump it on the ground.
It definitely is not with pasuk, so, like the word pasuk.
Right.
It's not even right.
So something caused the Rambam to reorder it, right? But like to believe that the pasukim themselves don't mean that order. So I'm suggesting, but I don't have enough of it yet, just that the lead that got the Rambam into this is this Eino Derech Eretz Shegim Zekos L'Rabo. Says the Rambam, if that's true, that's going to be applying even to the first part. Because I, Rambam, understand Trumas Hadeshen and Hasaras Hadeshen to be one thing. That's why in the mitzvah I call it Hasaras Hadeshen, the removal of the Deshen. I'm not talking about separating or lifting. I'm just talking about getting the ashes off the altar, and it's a whole big kit and caboodle. And therefore, whatever removal of ashes is, needs this Derech Eretz thing. And the reason Derech, and that's why I'd rather to quote a Derech Eretz in a halacha that has a pasuk supporting it. Why don't I just quote the pasuk? Because I'm telling you that the Derech Eretz is what tells me to take the pasuk out of context and apply it to the first act also. And so it's something like that. I mean, we're in the world of it. So the Rambam is saying it's all one act. There's two parts of it. Trumas Hadeshen, Hatzos Hadeshen, done by different people. But the clothing has to be the lesser clothing for the whole thing from the beginning to end. And the pasuk that says, take off your clothes and put on others, means before you do any of this, you will have done this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wait, okay, so if that's the case,
yeah,
when does he put on the Mishnah Sevach?
That is the big day kahuna that are lesser. The mido vad or mitzvah sevad are lesser vad.
No, but that's the pashut of the gadav. The gadav acher.
Well, that's the point. The Rambam saying pashut is the gadav means before you ever start this thing, and Rambam is clear about that.
So it says it says pashut of the gadav. It is
whatever he was wearing beforehand.
The gadav acherim are the.
Are the lesser clothing.
The lesser clothing that are described in Gimel.
The lesser clothing than what he would have been wearing, than the clothing that he wore that he took off.
Wait, but I'm saying those begad mecherim are what are described in Gimel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because the Torah there in Gimel would be saying he needs to be wearing big day kahuna, but lesser big day kahuna. How do I know? Because the next pasuk.
I guess I don't have their wardrobe set out, but like because they're defining Mishnah Seva in this specific clothing, a very nice like it I was thinking this.
You
was
thought
Rashi
that
closed.
Right? That's how Rashi clearly learns.
Yeah.
Rashi clearly learns that way. The Rambam clearly doesn't. It's an appellate to the Rambam. That, and the Rambam knows you know Chumash, right? The Rambam knows you know Chumash, so when he misquotes a pasuk, he knows the reader is going to say what, and he knows, and he's saying, "Don't worry, I know what I'm talking about. I mean that begadim acherim is going before Trumas Hadashim." Right? Look how he flows right into it. The lovers begadim acherim, the harem is Hadashim. Misquote, Eino Omer acherim. Acherim doesn't mean weekday clothing. It should just be less than the first ones, because Eino Derech Eretz. Why is he throwing that in? Because the Rambam is saying, therefore it has to be for the whole act. That's what I'm saying. The Rambam is saying, therefore I am misquoting the pasuk, because obviously it means the same Derech Eretz for the Hatzas edition applies to the Trumas edition. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
So the Rishon, to me, when that just is weird. It says Elishim falls on me now. Rishona, the Rishona would be the Yisnasevad. Like, what? We're under an assumption that the regular hangout were chashuv to an extent of, like, had a very high chashivas level before they would do the avoda. Like, it's kind of a weird.
No, he said that the Rishonas would be the begunim shemashash behem b'shar avodas. Second line in the printout. Right? Meaning the Rambam is saying it'll be less than the original ones that he would have been wearing for any other avoda. He's going to wear big dekahuna, but lesser. There's a special set of big dekahuna for Trumas Hadeshen, right? So he clearly refers to other begadim that he does use for other things, and this is going to be lesser than that. So the Rishonos means not the first ones he's wearing in this halacha, but the first one, meaning the original ones. The Rishonos means the original ones. Doesn't mean the ones he was wearing now. I mean, and this is it's a little tortured, but I mean, the Rambam is clearly begging us to figure something out here. So I'm just saying, that conceptually, the Rambam seems to understand that the whole thing is one thing. What bothers me is what it pointed out to
act,
you.
The Rambam is saying that the whole act is one act, as opposed to being two parts, as opposed to being an act.
It's
two
one.
Parts.
It's one goal, one function with two pieces to it: a Trumas Hadeshen and a Hatzah. But the goal is, get the ashes off the Mizbeach. And I wanted you to do it in a special way. A special thing to start it off and then finish it off.
And Rashi's suggesting that it's all one thing.
Rashi's suggesting that, no, actually there's only Trumas Hadeshen, that's the only holy act. The rest of it was done as a necessity when needed. And it wasn't a mitzvah b'chol yom. Okay. The Rambam holds everything was done b'chol yom.
But we don't know from, because the Rambam's quoting someplace, or seems to be misquoting the
he seems to be saying that this changing of the clothing happened before the Trumas Hadeshen, even though the Pasuk doesn't say that.
Right.
It seems to place it in between the Trumas Hadeshen. So, yeah, it's wild. It is wild. Alright, so that's there, I had more to kind of prove this. Yeah, what time is it? I'm going to have to, we have to stop here. Okay. We'll see. We might check out next week a little bit of this. Or else we'll go to Lamed Aleph. Okay? All right. Yisr kach, folks.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.